to just thank the organizers for asking me back again, although perhaps I sort of asked myself by hinting that we didn't really finish the subject adequately last time. Last time we discussed the halakhos of Kol Ish Yesh Bo Sakana and Sakana Deiva on Shabbos, and discussed the situations of emergencies or questions of emergencies, and obviously the emphasis of all those halakhos was that you do first and ask questions later. And although there were many details in halakhos, the basic principle is that you get on and do it and then ask afterwards. The situation on what we're going to discuss today is quite different. Here we're talking about, it's far more common, of course, general illnesses where people are unwell, but they're not, there's no question of danger to life. So in these cases, we're not bawful, as we discussed before. We don't have to rush into anything. We've got time to consider what should we do and what shouldn't we do. Maybe even got time to ask Shilas if necessary. And so I should emphasize really that the idea is really to give you some principles to understand what to work on, not really to paskin halakha l'maisa, and mispalosh lo nekoshya b'zvah halakha, but at least we should understand what the principles are and what we should be at least asking about and thinking about. I think it's important to start by making the point that although we say Tosek Pekuach Nefesh has got Din of Pekuach Nefesh, there have to be limits to that. Because the Shulchan Aruch itself goes through in detail what things are considered Din of Pekuach Nefesh and what things aren't Pekuach Nefesh. And therefore, however hypochondriacal we might be, if we wake up with some temperature on Shabbos, we can't say, I could have meningitis, it could be Tosek Pekuach Nefesh, and therefore I have to do everything as we discussed in the last year. The purpose is to try and be Messiah, and if there's a real topic, even if it's a small topic, obviously one has to do everything. But in cases which are clearly not a question of Pekuach Nefesh, one has to be bound by the halakhos, which we'll discuss now. The two main categories, and I've laid that out here, which we want to deal with, are therefore the question of what's described as choli kol haguf, and the second category is what's called miktsat choli, a lesser illness, you're not even that ill, and the halakhos for the two we'll see are quite different. What's meant by Chole Kol HaGuf? Chole Kol HaGuf, as it's laid out in Oz Hay, the Gimel, is a number of categories. One is somebody who's bedridden, that's why it's called Chole Shenofel LeMishkov, but somebody who is bedridden has got a din, which we'll discuss further, of Chole Kol HaGuf. And the Oruch HaShulchan says that doesn't necessarily mean he's bedridden, that even means he's housebound, somebody's got the flu, he's got temperature, he may not stay in bed, but he wouldn't go out. That immediately puts him into the category of Chole Kol HaGuf. What's important is that the idea of Chole Shenofel LeMishkov is actually a misnomer. It doesn't mean that somebody is actually confined to bed or confined to the house, because there are some illnesses which may be equivalent to that, but staying in bed doesn't make you feel any better. Sometimes you might feel better walking around. And so whether you're actually in bed or not is not the criteria. The criteria is whether it's an illness which is severe enough that it affects your whole body. Therefore, it's clear that a severe migraine or very severe toothache, such as not just your tooth that's hurting you, but when you've got a really severe toothache, your whole body feels affected by it, those all come into the category of Chole Kol HaGuf. Another thing which is important to mention is that, according to most of the Poskim, which Rosh Hashanah also brings it down, preventing the worsening of, in other words, somebody who suffers with migraine, and at the moment he's just got a headache, but he knows that's the beginning of a migraine, and if he leaves it in another hour or two, he's going to be a Chole Kol HaGuf, then he already has the din of a Chole Kol HaGuf, and he can take medication even before it gets to that stage. And that's proof from the Gemara in Shabbos, where it says that if they used to soak some kind of herbs, which was the Malacha, Pasha the Malacha Drabonon, and the Gemara says that if he did it on day one and day two, then you can carry on doing it on day three, because if he doesn't do it, it may lead to a sakana. And the Ran makes it clear that it can't be talking about leading to a sakana, because we're only talking about this drabonon. In any case, and what the Gemara means is that if he doesn't do it, since he's already started doing it previously, if he doesn't continue to do it, he may become a chole kol haguf. It'll affect him, he'll become ill from not taking it, and in order to prevent himself becoming ill from not taking it, he can already soak this stuff on Shabbos already. So it's clear from the Ran in Shabbos that you can prevent anything in prevention of chole kol haguf has also got a din of chole kol haguf. And the notion of the Rambam is also that he can do it shemo yechole, because he might become ill. Then the two other very important categories to consider, and that's a yoledes between 8 and 30 days after childbirth. The first 7 days he got din of chole shesh b'sakana, but for between a day 8 and day 30 after childbirth. And also any cotton, a child, possibly say under the age of 8 or 9, who's still got the din of a child has automatically got the din of chole kol aguf. That means even if they're not ill, anything which they require automatically gives them a din of chole kol aguf, and that means that they can do and take medication, do whatever you need for them according to the criteria which we're going to discuss. But the important thing is to realize that this means that even if the cotton is not ill, you can do something for a child. The child was matters in a chole kol aguf. Therefore, we'll see, for example, in a minute that amir la'akum is mutter for chole kol aguf. That means amir la'akum is mutter to heat up a baby's bottle, for example, if it's necessary, or to put on the heating if a child, if there's a child in the house who's cold, you can put, get a goat to put on the heating, because the child, even if they're not ill, has a din of chole kol aguf. So therefore, what are, once we understand these categories, what is it that we can do for a chole kol aguf? It's clear that we can't do an issa d'oraisa on Shabbos for somebody who's not in a situation of sakana. And the halacha is laid out in Os Aleph. The halacha summarized in the Shulchan Aruch, which is there, and the bit which underlined, is that the Mechaber starts off, Ramah cholish nafam mashnas choli lemishkov ve'ein bo sakana, omen la'akum lachos l'refuah, aval ein machal nes l'Shabbos issa d'oraisa. So principle number one is that amir la'akum is mutter for a chole kol aguf. You can ask your goy to do anything that is necessary. There are two ways of weakening a melacha on Shabbat. There are other ways, but two basic ways which are important for us today. One is by asking goy to do it. The other is by doing it with a shimon. So although it's clear that you can't do a melacha d'oraisa directly on Shabbat for somebody who's not in sakana, the question is, in what way can we use these two main methods of weakening? That is, either asking a goy or doing something with a shinui, doing something in an unusual manner. To what extent can we do that in order to do malachas on Shabbos for somebody who is unwell? Included in shinui on many poskim is also shnayim she'osu, two people doing things together. We'll talk about it in a minute. So it's clear from the Mechaber that when issa d'oraisa, we can ask a goy to do it. That's the weakest kind of malacha. It makes any issa d'oraisa into an issa d'rabbanan, but it makes it into the weakest kind of an issa d'rabbanan. That's amir al-akum, and that's mutar l'chatchila for chayle on Shabbos. So it's quite clear, important to be clear, that we're talking about being mutar l'chatchila. You're allowed l'chatchila to ask the goy to do anything that's necessary for any of the categories that we've discussed on Shabbos. You don't need to do anything to derech remez. You don't need to start making hints. You can just ask directly to your chayle, and it's mutar to benefit from what the Goy has done, what the Goy is doing for chayla. There's no issa of ne'er nememais akum either for a chayla. So therefore, for example, it's clear that you could, for example, ask a Goy to carry, to get some medication. Somebody's got a migraine, their neighbor next door's got Panadol. You can ask a Goy to bring it on Shabbos. There's no shayla about that, even if it's a Rosh Hashanah and Baraisa. There's no question you can ask a Goy to do that. You could ask a guy to make a telephone call, for example, to order some medication, to call a doctor, whatever the situation is. You can ask a guy to turn on and off the lights, right? Somebody's ill and the light's disturbing him, or you can ask him to turn it off, or he needs light, you can ask him to turn it on. You could ask a guy to drive somebody somewhere, if it were necessary for Sarasola on Shabbos. It's important just to make the mention that if we're talking about driving, it's very important to be careful about other malachas that may be involved. For example, opening and closing the door and switching on the lights. You have to make sure you ask the goy to open the door for you, close the door for you, but you don't have to start worrying about remez and making hints and trying to get him to understand him, what's going on. You just say to him straight out, it's out of Sabbath, we're not allowed to open it, can you please open the door for me, because I don't want the light to go on. And that's quite mutter, but you have to remember it and make sure you do it. For example, therefore, driving becomes very important. Question on Mir al-Akum is, let's say somebody's discharged from hospital on Shabbos and they're ready to go home Friday night or Shabbos morning, assuming they're still a chayla. If they're completely well, they can prove there's nothing wrong with them, then they've got a din of a bori. But let's say somebody who's been ill, they've been a chayla, they've been in hospital, they're better, they're well enough to go home, but they've still got a din of chayla kol aguf. This should be mutter to ask the guy to order a taxi to drive them home on Shabbos. If they feel it's a terrorist then to be at home, they're more comfortable at home than most people are. There's perhaps a risk of infection if they're staying in hospital longer than necessary. So the derech klal, it could be a terrorist chayla for the person to be at home, and therefore it would be mutter to get a goy to do that. Another thing which is important is that since we mentioned that any need of a cotton is considered a chayla kol aguf, if a mother is ready to come home from a hospital, she's been there sometimes with another child, has been there herself, and she may be complete bori now, but you've got young children at home who need her, and you consider it a tzorach for those children for the mother to be with them, the mother could also call a taxi to bring herself home, because the amir la'akum to get them back into the mother to come home, because that's a tzorah for the ketanim who are at home, who have got a din of choli sheyesh bo, who have got a din of choli kol haguf. And the important emphasis there is that by far the best way, where everyone can, and in this country usually we've got no problem, Amir al-Akum is by far the best way of getting around of any of these problems, wherever possible, once you're doing it by Amir al-Akum, and one doesn't even really have any great hesitation. If it's something which is necessary, you can't do things which are unnecessary, but if it's something which is necessary, you can do Amir al-Akum. Like I said, I was once walking in Hendon to see a patient on a Shabbos, and I met a relative of one of the local Rabbonim, and I had a little schmooze with him. When I came to Mincha in the afternoon, the Rav said to me, what were you doing walking in Hendon on Shabbos? So I said, I went to see somebody. So he said, well, I didn't take a car, what are you doing walking? So I said, that it wasn't a Chodesh Shoshan, it was nothing so pressing. So it doesn't matter, if it's a Torah or a Chodesh to be there, and something which is necessary, Amir al-Akum is Mutter, there's no reason why you should have to walk rather than go by car, if it's something which is a Torah. So that's important to be clear. Amir al-Akum is Mutlach HaSkela, and wherever possible, anything you can do with Amir al-Akum gets you out of lots of questions and problems. There's one other thing that we should consider, and that's the question of cooking on Shabbos for a chayla. It's clear Amir al-Akum is Mutlach, therefore if a chayla needs a warm meal, you can ask a goy if there's something available, you can ask a goy if it's necessary to cook a meal for that person on Shabbos, or to heat up a cup of tea, or to cook something for a young child. If there's nothing available, you can do that on Shabbos. But it's important to remember that besides this of bishul, it's also a question of bishul akum. That if the god cooks something for nothing, you've got a problem of bishul akum. So it's quite clear in the Ramah in Yerodea, it's quite clear that there's no issa of bishul akum for the chayla either. And therefore you can eat it without any having to worry about it. But what one has to remember is that somebody who's healthy may not eat that food, not only on Shabbos or the shine of Mice of Shabbos, but even after Shabbos, a healthy person can't eat it, and even the chayla himself, according to the Taz, can't eat it after Shabbos, because then the issue of bishul akum comes back into play. And in fact, it seems to me a machlokes in the Taz and the Ramah. The Ramah says that after Shabbos, a person can eat it, or certainly the chayla can eat it even after Shabbos. And it seems that the machlokes of the Taz and the Ramah is whether there is an issue of bishul akum and it's just waived for the sake of the chayla, or whether they never made a gzeira of bishul akum at all for a chayla in the first place, and therefore this was cooked to heta, and therefore it's mutton after Shabbos. Maskamina is that what happens if a goy cooks on Shabbos, do you need to be a mashia the kelim? Normally, bishul akum, the kelim need hagoli, you need to kash the kelim. So if a goy cooks for yid on Shabbos, do you have to kash the kelim afterwards? So it's brought down with chachila that one should kash the kelim afterwards as well, because of the shiloh. According to the Taz, one would have to kash the kelim afterwards. But the lashon of the Ramah is that since there are lots of shittas, in any case, the Indian of geocaining for this is a Qumrah, and since there's the shittah of the Taz, the shittah of the Ramah, that in any case it hasn't got din of bishul akum altogether, therefore so the lashon is hamekum b'makom hefsed lo hifted. When somebody's mekel, he hasn't lost anything in that tense, and therefore certainly b'di'evet will probably get away with that hashukaining, but certainly the chachibah didn't even do it. And he points out even for a clay cheret, which you normally can't kasher, you can certainly be yotzer by a goblin kim upon for a clay cheret, even for a clay cheret, as long as you don't smash it in the process. So therefore, but there's something we should be aware of, that there is, besides the shine of Shabbos, there's at the same time going to be a shine of Bishlach. So that's number one. It's clear for an Ibn Dur and Isra, right? So obviously an Isra Rabbonim, Ali Deyakum. What about Isra Rabbonim? For Isra Rabbonim, we've got the extra heter. Not only can you do it Ali Deyakum, but you can also do it alidei shinui. And if we go back to the Ramah in Siman Aleph, that it says v'yesh omrim in ein bo katana feva oisim shinui. It's talking about nitzir rabbanon, and we go like this third shifa, which is that if there's no katana feva, which we're out of time, you can do an nitzir rabbanon the shinui. So heta number one is an nitzir deraisa alidei akum. Heta number two is an nitzir rabbanon, which you can even do alidei shinui. So just briefly, what constitutes a shinui? The Shulchan Aruch says quite clearly from the Gemara that writing with your left hand is considered a shinur. He says if you want to write, to get out of the chiyuv on Shabbos, either writing with the left hand or writing kalacha yad, reversing the hand and holding the pen the other way around, are both considered as a shinur. And the Ran asks the Kasha that the Gemara says clearly in Shabbos Kuf Gimel that carrying with the left hand is chayiv. Somebody carries with his left hand, he's chayiv on Shabbos. And the Ram gives the obvious teretz. Also, there's a tesefta which says that pruning trees with your left hand is a chiyuv on Shabbos. And the Ram gives very obvious teretz is that It depends. Writing with your left hand is highly unusual. It's very difficult for a right-handed person. Obviously, the same thing happens for a left-handed person writing with his right hand. Writing with a non-dominant hand, a fine process, is very difficult to do, and you won't get such a good writing, and that's definitely considered a shinui. Something which you can more or less do equally well with either hand, it may be a little bit easier to carry with your right hand, but quite normal to carry with your left hand. If you're weeding the garden, you're going to use both hands. So it's quite normal to do weeding with your left hand. Anything like that, just reversing the hand is not going to be a shinui. In other words, a shinui has to be something which is clearly shaloka dark, an unusual manner. And the most common way that comes up, for example, as I said, with carrying, is if you need to carry a medication for somebody on Shabbos. So we said if there's no guy available, there's a stroll, or a situation where there's really no guy available, then if you want to do it, if it's an Isra Bonan, or carrying in a Kamalist, you could do Ali Be Shinui. For example, you could put it in your hat, you could carry it in a highly unusual manner. The normal way would be, let's say, to put it on in somebody's hat as a small item, like a tablet or a medication or a spray or something like that. Putting it over one's shoulder, if that's unusual, would also perhaps be considered a shinui for a light object you wouldn't normally carry in that fashion. So therefore it's very important to consider whether Hoktzah on Shabbos is Nisra D'oraita or Nisra D'rabbanan, because if it's Nisra D'oraita, you can do it as a shinui. But if it's a Karmelist, as Mr. Abonin, then it wouldn't. That obviously comes back to the old Shaila of whether we've got a Rosh Hashanah Rabbin Daraita or not. If you say Tetzayin Amar, then our streets could be in a Daraita, but obviously any Heter, anybody who arrives on any Eruv anywhere in the world, relies on the fact that we say you need to have 600,000 people, and therefore most of our streets are definitely only a Rosh Hashanah Rabbin Darabonin and a Karmelist, and therefore in such a situation it would be more to carry the Shemit. It would also, therefore, if we talk about, let's say, dialing on the telephone, if it was necessary to make a telephone call for a chayla, then again, it depends whether this is a Nisra D'oraita or if it's a Nisra D'rabbanan. If it's a Nisra D'oraita, you can only do Ali Day Up. If it's a Nisra D'rabbanan, you can do it the Shinu. Now, it used to be a problem that when you dialed on telephones, lights would go on in the exchange, and there's a question of Havara, which is clearly the Shaila of Nisra D'oraita on Shabbos. The majority of our telephones now, I'm sure, no lights go on in an exchange. It's all computerized. And so therefore, it's a strong mocking to say that there's no Issa D'oraita involved now in making a telephone call on Shabbos, except according to Chazon Ish, that you're making connections with the Shita of Chazon Ish, there's a Shaila of Bona and electricity, so that would be the same thing. So therefore, other than the Shita of Chazon Ish, there would certainly be a strong mocking to say that you could make a telephone call with a shinui if necessary on Shabbos, and a shinui making a telephone call is either doing it with your knuckle on a cell phone, or taking an implement, a toothpick or something like that, and using that to dial with that would be considered enough of a shinui. And therefore, again, if it's an Issa D'rabbanan, you could do that. You could do that with Torah Chayla on Shabbos. Turning on the light is clearly an Issa D'oraita of Havara. Turning off the light could also be that if somebody wants to go to sleep and wants the light off, you could also make a case that turning off the light on Shabbos, other than according to Chazon Ish, is also considered an Issa D'rabbanan. Why? Because the kibbutz d'oraita is the Sarah Pechon, if you need it for the sake of the kol. Anything, any kibbutz, even if you're putting out a flame, if you're not doing it in order to get the charcoal, as a result of that, there's a Melach Shein Sirit L'Gufa, which is much closer to whether that's an Issa D'oraita or an Issa D'rabbanan. But Rosh Lemon Zalman says clearly in the Sefer on Ma'ariyeh, he says that doing the kind of kibbutz which could never lead to charcoal in the first place, when you switch off an electric light, there is no charcoal, and even if whatever kavana you had, you couldn't make any charcoal that way, doesn't come to flower in the Melach D'oraita of kibbutz. Therefore, turning off the lights again would only be an Issa D'rabbanan of kibbutz, and again, it's probably on the Chazon Ish. If you're kosher for the Chazon Ish, it's an Issa D'oraita, you couldn't do that bishinui on Shabbos, but if you're not kosher for the Shittah of the Chazon Ish, then again, there could be mokum to be makel to turn off the light, the shinui, again, do it with your knuckle or the back of your elbow, that would also be considered as a possible heter in that situation. The question comes up, and that's mentioned in base, is what about doing an Issa D'oraita of a shint or through a shinui? We've mentioned that if these things are Issa D'rabbanan, then we can definitely do them in a shinui. Let's say that we are choshes that we've got the Rosh Hashanah and D'oraita, there's none of there. Let's say we are choshes the shit of the Chazon Ish that all these electric things are shilas of an Issa D'oraita, and you've got no guy available. Is any heter to do an Issa D'oraita for a chayla Ali Day Shinui on Shabbos? And that's brought down from the Shulchan Aruch HaRav that there is a heter based on the Gemara in Ksuvos, where it says that somebody who's ganeach, who's got a severe heartburn, can suck directly from a sheep. The milk is good if they suck it directly from the sheep. Can suck it directly from the sheep on Shabbos. And where it says mokum tzar legozer rabbanim. In the case of tzar, they didn't make any gzeir. So clearly that can't be. So therefore that the Torahim say that can't be talking about where it was. Where you just admit to the Rabbanon, because then there wouldn't be any shout about in the first place that we move to the Torah Kodesh even Bom Tzagot. Therefore the Ram says that that's talking about that the reason why it's mut in this case is because by definition it can't be done by a goy, because the refuah is to suck it directly. Therefore there's no way that you could do Amir and Akum, and since it's impossible to do it for Yidei Akum, it's mutter to do it on Yidei Shinus. Even though you're talking about where it's derived, the Ganeh is a Kashash Nisidaraisa, but he says it's mutter there because it doesn't come into the category of since it's impossible to do it on Yidei Akum, the head of the Ran is, then in such a situation you can even do it directly with a Shinus. The Ramban, Beit HaRaman, Teresa Odom, says that this is talking about Nesarek Lachayad, and Nesarek Lachayad is only in the Strabon in the first place, and that's the reason why it's Mutter. So the Shabbos and the Mishnah Berurah both, in one place seems to take on like the Ram, one place seems to take on like the Ramban, but in either case, it comes out that you wouldn't be allowed to do just a normal Shinui, just because there's a Goy not available. You wouldn't allow the normal Shinu in a proper Issa Dereisa the Torah Panei Shabbos. Nevertheless, the Shulchan Aruch Harav disagrees with that, and there are many other poskim who are Mekel, that B'mokam HaTorah can even do an Issa Dereisa B'Shinui. They learn just like Poshpat and Gemara, and therefore, Shmuel Shabbos can offer an example to Shmuel Zalman, that in a Mokam Torah, that there really is no Goy available, and there's nothing else you can do, you could even do an Issa Dereisa as they Shinui. Therefore, you've got another sniff to be Mekel, that even if you want to be kosher, that perhaps we do have a Rosh Hashanah and Deraisa, or that we have to be kosher with Chazon Ish that isn't a Deraisa, if there's no Goy available, there's no other way of doing it, you've got another Mokum to be Mekel, that there is a Heter to do an Issa Dereisa as they Shinui, the Mokum HaTorah. And the other point is that the Chayodim, the Shavurim is down from the Chayodim, that even though we said in Issa Drabonon you can only do the Shinui, that B'mokam HaTzorah, that the head of the Chayodim to even do an Issa Drabonon directly to Yodayim, but usually these kind of halachos are quite easy to do the Shinui, and therefore one, in most cases, one get around it by doing the Shinui, and therefore wherever possible an Issa Drabonon should only be done on Yidei Akum, and Issa Drabonon should only be done the Shinui, but the Mokum HaTorah and Issa Dereisa can probably be done even on Yidei Shinui, and an Issa Rabbanon could even be done directly in the Yodayim. You should also mention that measuring temperature on Shabbos with a mercury thermometer is no malacha at all. The Issa of measuring on Shabbos, the Zera, was never made for Mokum Mitzvah, and measuring temperature, any kind of refuah is considered a Mitzvah, and that's indeed a Shemetz in the Mokum. The next category, which we'll deal with briefly, is somebody who's not, doesn't fall into categories above, somebody who's ill, he's got some kind of problem, but he's not a Choli Kol HaGuf. He's only what's called a mikvah kola. Somebody's got a cold, he's got a mild toothache, a mild headache, a bit of hay fever, superficial wounds. All of these people, you can't do any malachas for them. It's an issa drabonim, alidei akum. The only thing you can do is an issa drabonim, alidei akum. So you can take an issa drabonim and weaken it in the mikvah way into a mirror akum and an issa drabonim. That you can do for somebody who is even considered the mitzvah of Rosh, the Shush, the mitzvah. Therefore, you can do an Amir al-Akum in an Issa Drabonon, is the only thing that's allowed in Mitzvah Kodesh. But it's important to realize that for Mitzvah Kodesh, there's an extra Issa, and that's the Gzeira of Shtika Samamonim. That there's an Issa on Shabbos of the accumulated Gzeira that you shouldn't do any refuah on Shabbos because of the Gzeira of the Lekha Token. In the old days, they used to grind up the medications themselves. If somebody's not feeling well, he might be bald, and if he hasn't got the medicine available, he'll come and grind it up himself, and therefore they said you're not allowed to take medicine on Shabbos for somebody who is in the category of mitzvah chayla. Now there are a number of exceptions to this, which again will need more time to go into in detail, but to understand the principles of it, that means that you can't take medication on Shabbos. The exceptions are number one, a machal briyan, something which in any case healthy people would have. So you've got a sore throat, have a tea with honey or whatever, there's no issue in that, because you might have that anyway, it's not nikah that's done in a refuah. The other exceptions are, is the question of whether you can do something which is, can you take something which is a medication for somebody who's completely healthy on Shabbos? And that's the whole question of taking vitamins, for example, on Shabbos, because the whole gzeira was made for people who are ill, and the question is, are people who are not ill included in that on Shabbos? And again, that's my place of Hoskin, which perhaps also I'll go into more detail in a future time. But the other and the other things to remember are that there is a shaila about medication which is in the middle of course, whether you can continue that course, as the head of Shemin Kluger, which is also a big machlokes about it. But things which are medicines but are not used as medications, it's clear that's heter. That means contraceptive pills or pills used for regulation cycle or fertility pills in women, all the parts of potassium are matter. The shaila about sleeping pills is also a very controversial issue, because again, the question is, if somebody can't sleep, is he considered as a chola? Is he considered as a mikdash chola? Is he considered as a chola chola guf? Maybe he's considered as a bori completely. If he's either a chola chola guf or he's a bori, that's certainly be a hetzer. Whereas if he's a mikdash chola, it would be off. And again, there's a large machlokes about that, which one again can consider in more detail in a future occasion. But the important principle is that to remember that for a mikdash chola, you can do an isadrabonon, how you say akum. But you can't take medication except in those categories which we've mentioned and which we've discussed, and therefore the and one has to be aware of that. If you've got a bit of a headache on Shabbos, there's a problem to grab on and just to go and take a tablet for it. The other question is the whole question of wound care on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Again, somebody may either be a mitzvah chole, occasionally may even make them to chole chole guf, but it's very important to remember that besides the shaylas of refuah, there's some of the common shaylas involved in dressing wounds, so problems of feet and sphere and mamareach and many, many different sides involved. And one has to be very careful to rea, one has to be very careful how one addresses that. And again, that's something which we'll go into more detail on a future occasion. Yeah, so only perhaps stands out with the broker that as before, that we shouldn't need to use these halachas, and Mr. Shem, there shouldn't be any illness. But if there should be any illnesses, there should be zeros and illness, it should only be in the category of mikvah chole, which we'll be able to manage with very easily in Mr. Shem, and so that we should know these halachas well, so that we can do everything to hizuram, and the Mr. Shem be safe from any future stuff.